You do the math, and don't laugh at me.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Michael. Michael.
I was burping again.
We're on a podcast.
I know, I know. I know where I am. I'm not that drunk.
Sonata. Come on, you.
Well, hello. If you listened to the last episode, you know already. I don't have an intro.
I know. We haven't. Just, in the 10-minute break we took in between, we did nothing about coming up.
Not a thing. All opposite. I know is that I am your host. Or I'm one of your hosts. Michael Feenan.
I'm your co-host, Aaron Hill. Welcome.
I don't like to think of it that way. And that's why I even corrected myself.
Is other host?
Not a host and co-host. I feel like, yeah.
Other.
We are both co-hosts.
We're both we're both hosts? I don't know.
You have just as much say in this show as I do.
I think that I've drank too much already this evening.
Oh no. Oh. Well, in case you're wondering, you're listening to episode number 26 of the Drunken UX podcast. This is season finale part deuce?
Yes. Dose? For context, we're recording both these Dolce? Episodes in the same evening. So
I make no apologies for what happens.
We do all the drinking in the first half, and then we do more drinking in the second half when we talk about the technical stuff.
And we do a lot of apologizing in the second half.
All this talk that involves precision, that's when we're at we're at the bomber's peak at that point.
Hopefully, if you're enjoying everything you're hearing right now, you will follow us on Twitter or Facebook. We are at /DrunkenUX, or check us out on Slack. You can come to drunkenux.com/Slack. The last place, of course, is Instagram at /DrunkenUXPodcast. To answer the question, because you asked it a while back, you said, "Hey, Michael, are we going to get that domain or that account name?" The answer is no. At least I have not. I messaged the person who has DrunkenUX, and they have not answered me. So. I am not the least bit shocked by that fact, but
yeah.
If you want us on Instagram, just know we are /DrunkenUXPodcast, and we'll post some stuff there. And according to Aaron, he's going to start posting some of his little electronics projects.
Yeah, so I actually have a couple.
That'll be neat.
I'll post. Well, I guess they will have already been posted. So go look in our recent posts on our Instagram, and you'll see them there.
Nice.
By the way, whatever you happen to celebrate, whether it's Christmas, Hanukkah, solstice, Yule, whatever you like.
Christmas, Hansa Quantica.
Happy holidays as a general statement for all of those. We hope you guys are enjoying it. And thank you for listening.
What? I'm super disappointed now, though, because I'm sitting here thinking, like, every year I've done the Cards Against Humanity, like...
Oh, did they do it this year? Did I miss it?
7 Days of Christmas or whatever. I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Oh, I'm going to look really quick.
So, if you don't know Cards Against Humanity... I don't know what to tell you. we mentioned them, though, in the e-com episode, if I remember right. Because Cards Against Humanity, to this day, still has one of the absolute best checkout processes I've ever seen on a website.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
And kudos to them for a site that is built around farce and tongue-in-cheek and jokes and all things offensive. Their e-com person needs a raise because that experience is possibly the best.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, before great. I get too far off track, because you mentioned Cards Against Humanity, or I mentioned it, I don't remember. I feel like we have a couple problems. One is I haven't talked about what I'm drinking yet, because if you haven't guessed by our rambling, continuing from last episode, I'm still having fun with my Glenmorangie 18, because you deserve nothing less. Aaron disagrees entirely.
We had cut away briefly, because Michael forgot what he's talking about, and I was
hey.
I don't even know if we plugged social yet.
Shh.
I'm completely lost in our show notes.
Your only job right now is to tell them that you're boring and you can't drink scotch anymore.
I have switched off of scotch. Although I guess for this episode, I'm just starting. I made a White Russian. I used Kahlua, and I didn't have any vodka, so I used Bailey's. And then I had, instead of half and half, I used light cream. I think we used the light cream earlier this week. My daughter wanted to make a pumpkin spice latte from scratch. So
is that a beige Russian then?
Yeah, maybe like a white Russian with a tan, I guess.
This is the advantage of doing shows back to back. You really get brand value out of our show at this point, right?
Yeah, it's happy holidays.
And here we are, we haven't even talked about it. We kind of have had a warmer topic, and I'm tempted to skip it, but I do want to talk about it because it's, it's hilarious.
Great. It's great.
So you want to go right now, pause the show after I say this, because if you pause it before, what good is that? You want to go to www, or maybe not. Maybe you don't need the Tridub anymore. I don't know. Tridub.adidas.com, like the shoes, /US/Jung, which is Y-U-N-G. Trust me on this. I don't care if you're listening on a phone, a tablet, Mac, PC, whatever.
Wait, did you say the /US first?
Yes.
Okay.
And here I thought I was the drunk one. You want to go here because, okay, Adidas has a certain brand voice, to say the least. And I think it is fair to say that there is a certain vintage quality to that.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a fair statement, don't you?
Yeah. Like
Adidas has not changed a lot.
Right.
And they haven't felt compelled to change a lot.
Well, they don't need to, do they?
No, I don't think they do. Yeah. I think they know who they are.
Oh.
And here we go.
You know what? I was super impressed with this because they were using what appeared to be frames.
It's not frames.
It's iframes. Well, the frames appear and then there's page flash and the frames go away. And I'm not clear. There's like a got a bug link and I'm tempted to report it. But
is it a frame though? Is it an actual iframe like in the source code?
Well, there's iframes in the source code, but like I swear, hold on, I'm gonna slap a screen.
I don't
screen cap.
I think I'm gonna call bullshit. I'm doing
a search
on their code right now, and I do not see an iframe in their source code.
You don't? Do you see the frame still? Does it show the gold button with the frame on the side? Oh, you know what? I wonder if AdBlock is blocking it.
I don't think it's a frame. I think that's just a div with like overflow Y.
No.
So it acts like a div, like an iframe.
No, this I literally see iframes in this. Hold on. I'm going to screen cap that too.
Okay.
Okay, hold up.
Folks, you tell us. So the whole point in this, go to adidas.com/US/Jung. Jung is a style of shoe, I guess. I don't wear Adidas, so I apologize to anybody who may call me out on this being wrong. But they have this Jung series. I don't know what the brand story is, if this is meant to be like a throwback shoe to the 90s.
The website is great.
I really don't know. But yeah, the website is like stuff of fucking magic.
Yeah.
You know, we talked in episode, what was it, 9, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We did Love at First Sight. We talked all about these very first websites we built back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And what Adidas has done with the Jung Series website is they have built a site in the spirit of basically GeoCities, just blood. It's gradients and GIFs and blue underlines and 3D animated word art and all of the things, repeated backgrounds, everything that just screams, hey, I'm a MySpace page.
Even on this is pre MySpace, dude. This is
is way pre MySpace.
You know, so even the photos, like the product photos, are even like on brand for this ad push. Like they're the brand, the photos of the shoes themselves are they're meant to look like they took an actual photo and had it developed and then scanned it.
And scanned it. Yeah, you can see, like, if you can imagine, like, there are reflections in the image that would be reflections of the scanner bed. And you know what's even better about that is if you look at the picture gallery, they have thumbnails, and the thumbnails are scaled unevenly.
Yes!
They're only scaled in one direction.
It has the thing like check out our video, and it's a screen still from like what looks like maybe a VHS recording.
My favorite part, my absolute favorite part of this website though, is the wallpaper section. Because
I think I missed that. Oh my god.
It is 100% like Windows 95 era wallpapers. They have desktop and mobile wallpapers. But the best part about it is their desktop wallpapers have individual resolution selections going all the way down to 640 by 480.
I was going to say, the only thing they're breaking out of character there for is that they go all the way up to 1920 by 1080. But I was like, I think that's an okay thing to do. Like, that's like kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke. Yeah, but the going down to 640 is just on point. It's great.
What makes this, and the reason, it's not just the design that makes this worthwhile. It's go to the website. Go to it. Go look at it. Because they have put this landing page into their default site wrapper. So at the very top is the normal Adidas header. At the very bottom is the normal Adidas footer. It is responsive to a degree. I did notice that in their attempt to stay true to this sort of late 90s, early 2000s layout, there were a couple breaking issues. But it does work down to a really low resolution, and it is pretty fucking responsive.
Yeah.
They have managed to combine like the old iframed slash tiles layout of the 90s and make it kind of responsive and make it work for a modern browser. And man, it is, I don't know what I can tell you to learn from it, but It is definitely worth a look.
Just appreciate it. I mean,
it's, just appreciate it. Yes.
I guess if you're younger, and by younger I mean under 30, this is like, and I'm not even joking, this is what the internet looked like in like 97, 96,
Aaron,
97.
Aaron.
What?
Aaron.
What?
Aaron. There's a game.
What?
I didn't even see it. There's a game. And it's like a Flash game, and it goes full screen, but it's not Flash.
Where is it? Oh, wait, I see it. The game under cool stuff. I found it. It doesn't load me, but maybe it's because I have ads. No, I have ads. I have Adblock disabled for it. It doesn't load for me.
Hit the arrows on your keyboard to match the beats. Turn your sound on.
What?
Oh. I can't hear it, though, because I've got my audio turned off for the podcast recording.
I think I might be having load issues with the site. Oops, I just screen capped.
Yeah, this appears to be, like, something. It loads. It doesn't load a separate page. It definitely is something loading, like, in a full screen div of thing.
Chrome's blocking it because some of the content's not loading over HTTPS.
Okay, well, you need to disable that shit.
Firefox.
Because it's under cool stuff. And
Yeah. I love that they called it cool stuff also.
It is under cool stuff. It loads what looks like a Flash game. If you don't know what a Flash game is, then go visit Newgrounds at some point. Don't visit Newgrounds. Okay, man. Turn your sound on.
Oh, you know what? When I view it in Firefox, the frames don't go away. It's only in Chrome.
Oh, interesting. And you know what's interesting is I'm sitting here looking at it and I can't get the game.
You know
to
what?
Play.
I'm a little sad that with all of the stuff that they do with this, that they okay, so the frame is definitely made to look like how frames work. Like so the thing on the left, this is like Young 96, Continental 80, Young 1, that cool stuff. That's like what frames looked like back in the 90s, but they didn't use an actual frame set. And that's, I'll be honest, I'm a little disappointed. Because the frames still totally work. Like, you can still use frames if you want.
I don't know. I mean, it's, they're trying to do the old thing in the new way. And I think that's worth.
Oh, no, it's great. I don't mean to be critical. I was really hoping to find a frame set in the source code because that would have been awesome. Holy crap, they do have a game. You're not even...
The game is like amazing. It's like a Guitar Hero kind of game. It took me a second to figure it out, but...
Oh my god, it's amazing.
And it's all, what is this canvas? I don't know. I didn't look at this ahead of time, folks, so I apologize that I'm getting fascinated by it. But it is. It's all canvas and JavaScript. So kudos to the Adidas people. If you want to know this, if you're looking for some nostalgia, if you don't know what nostalgia means, adidas.com/us/young. We'll have a link in the show notes as well.
DrunkenUX.com.
You can go to our site and you'll get it there.
I grabbed a few screen caps of the, just in case it's not available in a couple weeks, of the photos from the product shots, including one that has like the photo glare. It's just too much. I really hats off to them, or shoes off, I guess, for going to that level of detail.
So we are the Drunken UX Podcast. We want to spend this final episode, and this is the genuine final episode, part two of two of our season finale.
Wait. We plugged social, right?
Yes, we plugged social.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, let it go. Social is not the end of the world. We don't care about people.
Wait, where are we in the show outline?
number one.
Happy holidays, everyone.
We are 71 episodes into the Drunken UX Podcast. That's 25 episodes of the Drunken UX Podcast. That is 41 episodes of Real Time Overview and 6 episodes of Build Process. We have done that over the course of a year. When I started this in January of 2018, I definitely did not think about doing 71 episodes of anything.
Oh my gosh, no.
And yet here we are, and I'm thrilled. I'm ecstatic that we have done it and we have stuck to it, and my hat's off. This is my one moment to, you know, give kudos to my co-conspirator on the other microphone for helping Woo! Out, and to you for listening, and for all of the listeners who have come in, because that growth is what has made the show possible. So thank you to all of you.
Yeah.
But we wanted to take this episode. Last episode we talked about the warm fuzzies, and we made the joke that we don't know what the opposite of the word logistics is, because it's not the details, it's like the spirit. What was the spirit of the show? This is about the logistics, and we wanted to talk to you about how we do it. And this goes out, I'm going to be sharing this episode with some other folks in the podcasting realm, as it were. And so if you're interested in just information on podcasting, this is going to be a good episode too, not just web stuff. So listen. We're going to tell you good stuff. Good things. 71 episodes. That means we have put out, by my measure, 2.3 gigabytes of audio. Your friend that you knew but had no involvement with when you were younger downloaded MP3s off of LimeWire, right?
I think that my friend downloaded them off of the internet like any red-blooded American would.
Yeah.
Over websites.
They use something called Juarez sites. Is that fair?
GeoCities. It wasn't illegal then. Remember before the RAA? No. It wasn't. There was not a law against it. It was ostensibly legal gray area.
You are arguing awfully hard for your friend, and I don't think you need to protect your friend that much. Those old media files, though. I mean, what are we talking? A mega minute usually. Yeah. And honestly, we've actually stuck really close to that. At 2.3 gigs of audio, we were averaging just over a mega minute for most of this season.
Wow.
And I only say this just in case anybody is curious about how much, you know, space it takes, because you have to pay for space, regardless of if it's a web host or Amazon or whatever. We have done 2.3 gigs and it averaged around 128 kilobits per second. Is roughly a meg per minute, give or take.
Yeah.
We do, you know, real-time overview averages about 11 minutes. Drunken UX Podcast is in the area of an hour and 30. Yeah. And Build Process is around 30. So if you are trying to figure out, like, how much you need to pay for space-wise, if you consider a mega minute, that will get you there for the most part.
Yeah.
Over this time, we now are on 5 major platforms. That's Google, Apple,
iTunes, Spotify?
Yeah, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and basically every other app at this point. I think we are officially, as of about a month ago, we now have coverage on every major platform.
Are those syndicated through the big ones, or do we have to, like, opt in?
Yeah, so that's actually a really good point. Like, if you're thinking about starting up a podcast and you're asking the question of how do I get on all these sites,
mm-hmm.
Some of them you do have to, like, submit yourself to. And yeah. I've had to do that on several of these. But
wasn't Apple a pain in the butt to get approved on?
It wasn't a pain in the butt. It just took a while.
Yeah.
You had to submit and wait. And Google is the same way. You had to submit and wait a while. A lot of services, though, and a lot of the apps, like if you're using, say, Pocket Casts or one of them, mm-hmm. And again, I reserve the right to be wrong on this, but my understanding is a lot of those services all scrape iTunes. So if you can get into one of those big ecosystems, you're pretty much guaranteed to get elsewhere.
Oh, that's cool.
But as of now, the last two were Stitcher and iTunes. And if you've listened to past episodes, either Drunken UX or Real Time Overview, we've mentioned that we're now on those. Those were new areas. They have kind of their own area, so to speak, their own walled gardens. So we did have to get in there on our own. But I think as of now, if you want to listen to us, you can pretty much find us absolutely anywhere. And I am going to wear that as a badge of honor.
I think that is awesome.
If you're wondering,
we're on the internet.
What does that mean? Like, how much are you pushing? Because a lot of folks, and I've seen some folks talk about this, where they have hosted on some like a shared host, for instance, you know, your $5 right. a month basic hosting, and they've gotten shut off because of it. And
even with unlimited bandwidth.
Because
was it episode 24 that we talked about that, or 23?
I think it was 23. Yeah, okay. That there's a lot of hidden language in a lot of hosting agreements that what you can host on those websites is highly relevant to the unlimited part of it. And a lot of times media files don't apply to that. Because they are large, they take a lot of time to transfer, and so hosts don't want to chew up their own connections with that. So for us, we mm-hmm. have now just crossed the benchmark of right around 50 gigs a month. And, you know, to think about that, our entire catalog is 2.3 gigs.
Right.
So we're basically transferring twice that every single month. Yeah, well, it's more than twice. And I'm really proud of that.
20?
We're going to be a little cagey about numbers just because I don't know if they're good or bad, and I'm proud of them, but there are reasons to not say explicit numbers. But yeah, generally, you can probably reverse engineer some of this math, and that's all right.
We're in the like five figures on streams, right?
Right. So 50 gigs a month is basically saying you are transferring well into five digits of streams per month. One of the things I did actually, because when we set this up, and we'll talk about hosting in a second, but we host our media files on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And because Amazon offers a free tier, if you didn't know that, go look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You get like a free micro EC2 instance, you get a certain amount of storage on S3 and transfer in CloudFront. And so I figured, you know what, we were small enough when I set it up that we would go with that. And we officially, as of October, we crossed the threshold where we no longer qualified for the free tier, which was 50 gigs.
Woo!
So yes, claps to us.
We did it.
My solution to that, I had a fix. I decreased the bitrate on our MP3 files. so I apologize. If you think this sounds worse, you're wrong, but we've decreased our bit rates from 128 kilobits a second to 96 kilobits per second.
You know what, though? Like, it's voice audio. So it is.
Exactly the thing.
Yeah, the frequency range that we're actually using is much smaller, and
yes,
you don't need the fidelity that you might have.
And there are a lot of debates in the podcast community about what is worth, you know, encoding at. Folks will point at shows like Lore, if you've listened to that at all. Lore encodes, I think, at 256 kilobits per second.
That seems unnecessary.
It's not for them.
Oh, do they do, like, sound and stuff?
Right. Lore has a really beautiful sound bed that they play that is different for every show. It's not like a just a generic bed. And it's really high quality. And the music plays a very high role in the show. We don't do that. We're just voice. Voice occupies a very narrow part of the spectrum. And so we can get away with that. And I did 128 because when we were early on, I didn't really know what to go with, what would be best. And I have learned that it's worth saving, what, almost a quarter of our bandwidth to cut us down to 96 since we're just voice.
You know, that reminds, this is completely unrelated to podcasting, but there was, when I was working at Cornell, in one of the food places, they had these like biodegradable plastic forks, and the handle on the forks was missing like kind of a teardrop shape from the handle. And I thought that was funny, and I was trying to figure out why they would do that, like if it was structural integrity or whatever. But I realized it's probably because they're saving about, I don't know, 10, maybe 20% of plastic or whatever the material is on the fork production. And so like when you're producing millions of those forks, that adds up quickly.
Yeah. Well, and it's that similar idea. Airlines went through that. Mm-hmm. Somebody was commenting on, they noticed, and this is props to whoever noticed this. They noticed on an overnight flight, the number of olives that were included in the salad they got on the overnight flight went from like 3 to 2. And it wasn't a glitch.
Yeah.
Like it actually, they apparently made this flight regularly for business or whatever, and they noticed they always got 3 olives and then they were always getting 2 olives.
Yeah.
And cutting out 1 olive, like the normal person isn't even thinking about that.
Right.
But for the company, it saved them like $1 million.
Probably, yeah. How many flights?
And yeah, so this is very similar, that it's just a matter of, I hope you, the listener, does not notice any change at all in the fidelity of the show. If you do, please let me know. I will be happy to look at why that is. But I think we are delivering a show of the same quality for less bandwidth. And I've managed to get us at least momentarily, briefly under that free tier limit.
Were we on 96 kilobits on episode 24?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't notice any difference then. Oh, did fine.
Yeah. So I think I started that in episode 22 for what it's worth.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And the last several build process episodes and whatnot as well.
Nice.
And so 50 gigs, just to give you an idea, we said we've done like we are in the 5-figure range in terms of streams for the year, which is nuts. We average 4 figures every single month. You do the math. Even if I said that was 1,000, that's still, I'm so happy.
Yeah, with. It's amazing.
what's really nuts about that, though, is, you know, this is where like laws of averages and stuff kind of come into play, that almost half of our traffic has all been in the last 90 days in terms of when you start factoring in our growth and like our, not so much the peak days.
Wait, so half of the traffic has been in the last
3 months,
roughly quarter of the period,
right?
Roughly. That's just about power law distribution.
And a lot of that comes on not so much our peak days, like our release days are actually relatively predictable.
Yeah.
But the floor, like the in-between days, I'm noticing is what is coming up.
Yeah.
And that's something good. That may not be interesting to a lot of people, but if you are producing content and you're wondering about, you know, what you should value, I, in particular, like I've seen days where, well, it just happened actually recently, when we hit Spotify, I noticed a really weird spike in traffic. And some of was genuine Spotify. Like they offered, and we'll talk about tracking here in just a little bit, but they offer their own numbers. And I thought, oh, well, that's just Spotify users. But then I looked at the rest of my analytics, and I'm like, I don't see anybody from Spotify.
Yeah.
And what it was is when we hit a new tracker, they scraped everything, and they do what are basically like header requests for the content to get it all. One of my metrics picks those up as hits.
Oh.
And so I had this really super weird spike that was like 60 listens on a day where we should have had way less than that. And so it's weird to kind of figure that out, but I've gotten smarter about this over time. But even all of that considered, our floor, like our normal, like our nominal day-to-day listens have come way up, and that's what contributes to that 90-day increase really heavily.
That's awesome.
Just since July, basically, if you figure like how this is distributed, we've doubled our traffic since July.
Wow. That's a lot of internet.
I said it in episode 25, and I'm going to say it again. Thank you, Smashing Magazine. Because a huge part of that came from that.
Well, and thank you to all the guests that we've had as well, because I know that their audiences, some of you may be leaked over from those audiences.
Joel, I know you're listening because you are just that kind of friend. Joel Goodman's episode, I think, is episode 20, about starting like your own business in web development, is our number one listened to show across the board. And it was, what, 2 months ago, 3 months ago now?
Right.
You are 100% right that we need to owe a lot of gratitude to those guests. And we'll talk about some more in what our goals for 2019 are, but suffice it to say, guests are on that list. let's see. Hosting-wise, and again, some of this is going to be a little bit of rehash, but we run a very normal website. It's WordPress on a host. Nothing particularly astonishing there. We could run our website on anything, for what it's worth.
An Amazon Lambda service.
I don't know about Lambda, but what is their new one? LightSail, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, LightSail would work if you're not an Amazon AWS person. LightSail is their answer to this sort of purpose hosting, let's call it. They probably have a different name, but that's what I'll call it. We host a very traditional WordPress website on a DigitalOcean droplet. DigitalOcean is sort of the equivalent of Amazon EC2, but cheaper,
right?
I think. We went with, for our episodes, because my thing was, and early on I noticed this, that you know, I want to keep backups of stuff. I want to keep stuff secured. I keep all of our audio is backed up locally. Like, I have literally two places I can get our audio from.
Yeah, I see it on the file server. Every wave I've ever uploaded is in there.
Yeah. And for our website, though, it was on DigitalOcean. And I was noticing very quickly that uploading, you know, 50 meg episodes every other week was adding up very quickly. And it was making our website backups really bloated from a media standpoint, especially for something that I already had a backup scheme for elsewhere. So what I did was I moved us over to object storage. If you listen to episode 23, we talked about block and object storage, and in particular how we hosted our website there, and that was part of the reason was it allowed me to take all of these big files that just need to exist and be served. And they can live there, and I don't have to worry about them. But they don't conflict with the site is small. Without all the media files there, our website itself is small. It just has to be there, have an RSS feed, have the post, and link to those files, and we're good to go. That doesn't take much. And it allows us a lot of portability. Then we've talked about S3, we've talked about object storage and block storage. And what we're looking at is right now we are on the S3 free tier and CloudFront free tier, but folks like DigitalOcean have their own block storage scheme that's really cheap. And by going this route, we can pick up our entire library, move it, repoint DNS, and nobody misses anything. I don't have to worry about old links or RSS feeds or anything. We'll be able to keep the same name for everything and move stuff around. I like that. I am a fan of portability and redundancy, frankly.
Yeah. I guess it's nice to have not have to have the backups getting bloated by media files.
Yeah, because they are all technically external links.
Right.
So if what that means is if you go to our website, it's drunkenux.com. Our episodes are on literally episodes.drunkenux.com.
Do we, since we're surfing through an EC2 instance, does Amazon intelligently route, like, is it function kind of like a CDN where it routes based on where the request is coming from?
It's not like a CDN. It is a CDN because I put CloudFront on top of that.
Nice.
So our cache hit rate is around 75%, but serving data out of CloudFront is cheaper than S3. So when we went over, for instance, a couple months ago, when we went over that free tier limit,
yeah,
I think my total bill was like 82 cents, something like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was super cheap because CloudFront bandwidth is extremely affordable. And that allows you to kind of buffer a little bit of that. And I know I've talked to folks who have had like unexpected spikes in traffic, and right. that has always been their concern with self-hosting things. And there's also there's a huge technical component to this that we're not talking about, but you know, knowing how to set up your DNS and SSL and all that and linking that to your website. What we'll get to here in a second is what if you can't do that. But if you can, and I feel as a web development podcast, we are responsible to do that. We can host all this ourselves, and I should be paying attention to that. And if there's going to be a problem, I can see it coming.
Right.
That's my hope with the portability aspect is in at scale, DigitalOcean is really cheap on their block storage. And so my hope is if we get to that point where we need to worry about that, I'm just going to pick everything up and move it. I break no RSS feeds. I break nothing. Right. So to that point, there are, like, if you're doing a podcast, because there are a ton of people doing podcasts who are not at all tech savvy. And there are a couple services that really stand out when you get into conversations about this. And one is Libsyn and the other is Podbean. There's a third, it's Anchor FM, that is also perfectly good, but it's definitely lower than the other two. They are like purpose-built podcast hosting.
What do you mean by purpose-built? Like it's built around specifically doing podcasting?
Yes, yeah. Like okay. It is designed to service that industry. It is made to host your media files, give you analytics. I don't know about it because I haven't used them. And so I apologize to either company in advance if I get this wrong. But I don't think Libsyn does, but I do think Podbean gives you like a very basic website.
Okay.
With that, it's super limited. It's not, you know, you're not going to customize it a bunch, but it gives you a place to store your audio files and have them listed and have like a link to a show, you know, a player and show notes and whatnot. But you don't have a lot of power. You certainly can't control the layout or anything like that. For a lot of people, that's all they need. You know, they're just trying to put a show out there and have a place to serve it and have a feed. For us, I didn't like that because we can do all of that. You know, we understand those idiosyncrasies and the hosting and the feeding and all of that stuff. That's where if you're looking at this and looking at getting into podcasting or whatever you want to do, that's sort of the difference between what we do and why you might consider a service like any of them.
Right, right.
And they're very affordable. I think Libsyn starts at like $5 a month.
Nice.
Yeah, it's real cheap.
You may have said this already. Do they do the hosting too?
I don't know if Libsyn does. I think Podbean does. Anchor.fm does. Anchor.fm is actually an interesting outlier. Their business model has changed several times over the past couple years. Mm-hmm. And they're very interesting, but like, if somebody's thinking about the business aspect of podcasting, they're a little bit cautious because that frequency and change kind of lets you think that, you know, what about in 6 more months? What will they be doing? But Anchor.fm is trying to do a service like, and Aaron and I have talked about this, that, you know, maybe we should do a Patreon.
Right.
You know, let people give us $1 a month or something, just to help us offset hosting costs or whatever. That's kind of what Anchor.fm is after, is they want to be that kind of service for podcasts very specifically. They're releasing a service that allows people to subscribe and listen and do all that, but also to donate and to build, like, try to build a revenue scheme around it. Again, I haven't used it. I don't know, you know, I don't know a lot of the details around it, but it's interesting. Yeah. It's something that is making my ears go up a little bit.
Cool.
I've had a lot of discussions with folks about it, and that's kind of the stuff that tends to come up, which is they're neat. They seem like they have a lot of weird background, and you may be better off going with somebody else. Which isn't, I'm not trying to hit on Anchor or anything, but.
Is using a third-party service like this similar to doing your content publishing through Medium as opposed to hosting it yourself?
Yeah,
and I say that, like, for the good and the bad. Like, I love the interface that Medium has. However, one of the biggest criticisms that I hear from other writers is that Medium basically just, you give them free content and they keep all the revenue. Unless you opt to the premium program.
There was a real big question mark early on about Anchor because they had one of those like TOS comments that everybody like signals on, which is that they apparently took not ownership, but they had rights to your content. Now yeah. They have since changed that, and that was quite some time back. So don't take that against them now. Okay. But there was some of that concern early on. And obviously, all of these companies, you know, they have to make money to stay solvent. My idea is, you know, Anchor in particular must be making money off of, you know, transaction fees and something like that. But I just don't know. I don't know enough to actually say. And I don't want to say they're bad or not. I think they are probably the third behind Libsyn and Podbean. So.
Yeah,
definitely consider it if it's something you want to get into and you don't understand how to set this stuff up yourself.
Right.
So outside of that, let's talk for just a second about technology. Can we do that? Is that okay? And when we say technology, I think we're talking like the stuff right in front of us, this stuff. Hello.
You mean like the hardware and software, or do you mean like just like technology in general?
Yes, let's talk hardware, maybe software. We have built up over the months. We got Aaron. Aaron is recording on a Blue Yeti, if you're interested.
I have a USB Blue Yeti silver mic and the shock ring that is suited for, as well as a generic pop filter.
The handy part about that is it goes right into the computer. It knows what to do with it. It's powered off USB. It gives you pretty good sound, given you know what it is, and it's pretty affordable. You can get them under $100.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's flexible, like those Blue Yetis. If you're into audio work at all, they of course can be cardioid, which means they're sensitive in the front. They can be figure eight, which means they are sensitive from the front and back.
It does Omni mode too,
and it does Omni, which is kind of like a lot of microphones you might be familiar with, in that they will just pick up whatever is around them.
The gain on it. I have the gain almost to the bottom. If I turn it up much beyond that, it will pick up sound from the other room, even with the door closed. It is very, very sensitive. So if you have one, make sure you test it out first.
I think at its price point, it is very good. I think to do a lot better, you have to go up in price quite a bit.
Yeah.
I've got a different setup. I actually have a Rode NT1. That is the microphone I use. And then I use a UMC 204 HD interface, which is the thing that plugs into my computer. So my microphone runs into my interface, and then the interface runs into my computer. This is somewhat more high quality. Like if you do any voice acting or other audio production, that's kind of where this starts to lean into. It's certainly more expensive, but it it's still, like, if you listen to Aaron and I, we still sound very much, like, for just normal voice talking, it's still very close.
You got those because you were looking into doing, like, audiobook or...
I am actually building a studio in my basement to do additional audio work, so I wanted something a little bit with a little bit more high end. And you get into a lot of stuff, like, in terms of noise floor and preamp hiss and noise and things like that. So, and we won't go that in depth on this, but just if you're wondering what it takes, like, a couple Blue Yetis can get you into this game very easily.
Absolutely.
And some decent headphones. You don't even have to have good headphones. Any headphones, a Blue Yeti, and, you know, a good ear can pretty much help a lot of what's involved, I think.
Definitely.
We use, or I have Aaron use on his end, he records into Audacity, which is free open source software. It's multi-track. It's not actually awesome.
It's serviceable. It's also available on every platform. I run Ubuntu natively on my desktop, and it's, like, you know, available in the Software Center.
It's one of those things that it has a lot of limitations, but you will only recognize those limitations if you start, like, going real hard into things.
Yeah, yes. I would agree with that.
We edit in a piece of software called Podium. I will be transitioning that over to Cakewalk now that it has been released for free. These are multi-track editing platforms that give you all kinds of controls and all of this. The difference, and the reason why I don't edit in Audacity, I like Audacity, and I used to use it for a long time, but the problem is it is destructive editing. So when you are adding stuff or changing stuff or filtering stuff or cutting stuff, you are doing it to what you see. Tools like Podium or Cakewalk, or if you want to pay for something like Reaper or any of these, SoundForge, the difference is that they are non-destructive. It's like Photoshop. So what do is more like a filter, and you can always recover what is underneath.
That's cool.
And that's incredibly useful for audio editing, especially if you ever worry about maybe having to go back and re-edit something.
I wonder, given how you can do layering in audio, if you do layering like in Photoshop, like if they would visualize it in that way. I thought that was very handy with...
It's hard because you're looking at a waveform, which is just a 2D representation of sound. So you can look at, you know, 3D representations of waveforms, but I can't read those. But the thing here, the takeaway is these tools are free. Podium is free. Audacity is free. I find Podium to be very serviceable, very good. If you are in the jargon, it supports VST plugins and things of that nature, so you can do most of your work. A good piece of software, and you can get it is like if you've ever compared like GIMP to Photoshop.
Yeah.
GIMP can do most of what Photoshop does.
Most. I do use GIMP, and
but it's not a fun experience.
But I mean, I learned how to do photo editing in Photoshop, and there are definitely areas where I love GIMP and I will continue to use it, but there are areas where Photoshop is just better.
Yeah. The gap between GIMP and Photoshop is pretty big.
Yeah.
There is actually if you're interested, there's a download of GIMP called GIMP Shop that tries to make it emulate Photoshop for what it's worth.
Yeah, I have that.
The gap between something like Podium and Audition is much smaller, in my opinion. So that's just,
okay.
A tool. Okay. I'll link these tools in the show notes if you want to go looking for it. Transcriptions. They're hard. We brought this up in episode 25, part one of this episode, that, you know, we are very apologetic, and we know we are behind in terms of where we wanted to be with transcripts. We've learned there's a huge lesson here that we have learned, and that's that machine transcriptions simply aren't good.
Yeah.
They are really bad, especially for long form audio.
We've tried Amazon
I've tried them all.
Yeah, we've done everyone. What ended up happening, and this is the first, the episodes we do have transcriptions for, what would happen is we would try a different service and it would make a text transcription that would be basically good enough. But then Michael and I would then, we would split the episode in half and we would each go through and listen to the transcript and fix the errors.
Yeah.
And honestly, it wasn't that much different than just doing it manually completely. Except I think in some ways it was even harder because you had to like go back and be like, wait, why is it saying these words?
Yeah. And I was really excited about, we've talked about like S3 and CloudFront, and another mm-hmm. service that Amazon AWS has released is their Transcribe service.
Yeah.
And at first I thought, oh, this will be great because it's Amazon. And I've done a couple episodes through them now, and it's just not good.
Yeah.
I'm just really disappointed. And for a show that is only two guys talking, I can even go as far, like I've worked with some tools that let you do like speaker one on the left track, speaker two on the right track. Even then, it doesn't do a good enough job. And I was really disappointed by that.
Yeah.
And the alternative is then to do human transcription. And the challenge there is that human transcription is really expensive.
It's time consuming.
It's you know, 70 cents to a dollar per minute.
And the thing to remember there is, it's if you have an hour long podcast, you're not paying for 60 minutes of service, because if you want accuracy, at least, you know, they still have to pause it periodically. So you're looking at least 2 to 3 times the length of your podcast, I'm guessing.
Some of them will charge you show minutes rather than human minutes. But either way, you still work out like to transcribe this show and pay somebody to do it. Most services are going to cost me, you know, $60 to $80 per episode. As we've said many times, we don't make money doing this show. I am cash flow negative, you know, paying for equipment and hosting and all of these things. And that's not a complaint. That's just a reality of trying to run something like this, that there is that bit. And I wanted to make a point, and it's not going to be a popular point, but it's one that I think does need to be said, which is, this is why accessibility is hard.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can say from the very start, and we did it early on, that we were going to include that as a part of our process. But because of the time and or financial commitment that it took, my options became, we either produced a show or we produced no show.
Right.
And I didn't like that option. I like the idea that producing some content was at least better than producing none.
This is a much, so with Drunken UX, we don't have a script. We basically an outline, our show notes, which is sort of just covers like, these are the general points we want to make. But with RTO, I think you told me that you actually just write out the script beforehand, and that effectively is the transcript, right?
Yeah. So if you listen to RTO, you'll notice, or rather if you go to the website, Real-time overview always has a transcript for it.
Yeah. It's a lot easier because it's just you. There's no dialogue.
Right.
You can basically write out everything. It's short enough that pre-writing the script isn't a big deal. It's basically like a radio piece, really.
Yeah, it is. And yeah. I'm sure folks have noticed, RTO is a scripted show, and it's no different than if you watch Nerdist News or any of them that, you know, they're reading a teleprompter. I have a script that I read. The result is, turning that into a transcript on the website, super easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've literally written what I'm saying.
And I know that that's easier to make that, to close that gap, but I like the format that that Drunken UX has, where it's a lot more spontaneous and gives us the freedom to riff on things a lot more.
Yeah, we can't script this. I wouldn't want to. I agree. I think that it's better off the cuff. And you know, I as I say this, I think about all the companies I've heard say this, and it makes me understand it a little bit better. But I say, we are committed to ensuring accessibility to our content.
Yeah.
My commitment to that is, however, limited to my reach.
Right.
Which is itself a funny accessibility problem, so to speak. Suffice it to say, my hope is to get to the point one day where I can ensure and promise you that every episode will be transcribed and put out there. But at this point, that's just not the case. And I'm not willing to not make the show on that.
Right.
I hope that actually draws some criticism, because I think it should. But it is the reality of content production. And I think that it is, at a bigger scale, a really important lesson on accessibility and usability and why people make things inaccessible.
I think that, I mean, with that mea culpa, that we understand this is a shortcoming we have. I mean, whether or not we're understaffed on this, because it is just two of us, I if anyone has any advice, if you do a podcast or if you work with doing transcripts or accessibility issues, like, if you have advice on how to do this more efficiently, please tell us. I would love to. Like,
absolutely.
We want to do better by our audience with this. It's just, it's very challenging, and to both release regular content and not have it held up by the transcripts, especially in a growing podcast, like, where releasing regular content is important, but at the same time, like, we do want to have those transcripts for a number of reasons, not just accessibility.
And this isn't an excuse. I want to say that first off. Mm-hmm. But if you look at a lot of other web podcasts, we are not standing alone in the cold on this. If you listen to, and I apologize to any of you guys if I'm calling you out incorrectly, but my understanding is Syntax doesn't have any transcripts. WordPress Weekly doesn't have them. I don't think Web Developer T has them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big groups in this sphere don't have transcripts either, because they're all trying to do, I think, what we are, which is produce content at an acceptable rhythm,
mm-hmm,
with no budget and no help, so to speak.
If you happen to be good at producing transcripts or typing quickly or just looking to fill a niche, like, I think there is demand here for this.
And I think I owe a huge shout out to Deborah Edwards Onoro. Mm-hmm. She's at Illyrio up in Detroit. We've had several conversations about this. She has suggested stuff to me in the past. Mm-hmm. And she has asked me many times about our transcriptions and what our status is. She's a huge accessibility advocate, and that's part, mm-hmm, of what they do at Illyrio. And she has really kept me on point about, mm-hmm, staying true to that and making sure that every time she brings it up, I feel bad because I have to say I don't have it, and I know I should, and I wish I had a better answer, but I think we need that push, and I think as an industry, we need that push, because at some point we need to be better at saying, well, if I can't do that piece, I shouldn't do any of it. I'm just not sure that now is that time.
For people that can't, people that are hard of hearing or just unable to listen for whatever reason, I mean, not being able to do a transcript is the same as not being able to record the audio.
Yeah.
Functionally, they are the same thing. And so, I mean, it would be similar to us saying, like, well, if we can't record the audio, we can't do the podcast. Like, it's just... almost tautological.
So the final piece of all of this, and what will almost bring us home in today's episode, is tracking. And that's an interesting piece. I love analytics. I'm an analytics nerd. I've been trying to, you know, track our show and understand, you know, how many listeners we have and stuff. And everybody asks, well, how many subscribers do you have?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because there really isn't a way to know, right?
It's a passively consumed thing.
Right, it is. And it's, on one hand, I say it's a lot like RSS.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it's RSS. Which is to say that, you know, RSS, if folks remember FeedBurner, it was all about proxying the requests to your content to try to give you an understanding of how many people were asking for it.
Right.
That's the challenge we have here, because at the end of the day, even if a service like Spotify tells you how many people have favorited your show, your show is being supplied to all of these services literally by RSS.
Right.
Google, Apple, Spotify, Podchaser, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, they are all using your RSS feed to scrape your audio. So at the end of the day, it's incredibly hard to track your usage because of that.
Mm-hmm.
The solution a lot of us have gone to, there's the International Association of Broadcasters, IAB, they have released the 2.0 version of their specification on how to track podcasts. And it's considered the standard if you want to get advertisers and sponsors and things like that. My solution to that has been a combination of an internal stats tracker along with a proxy service called PodTrack, which is, PodTrack is basically FeedBurner for podcasts.
Okay.
So you give it your RSS feed, it proxies your URLs, and so when you give your RSS feed to other places, you include their URL instead of yours.
Okay.
So when a service like Google says, hey, this user wants to listen to your show, it's requesting it through this PodTrack URL, which tries to give you then the stats on it. That's been the best solution so far for me.
Huh.
They filter out, you know, robots and crawlers and scanners and all of this, and they try to account for things like people who hit play and then pause and then play again and all of that, because in some services, that counts as an additional hit.
Right.
So it's actually really hard to track. It's not nearly as simple as how many people have read my article. You don't have the luxury of like Google Analytics deduping visitors and things like that. So suffice it to say, our numbers are, I'm confident in our numbers at this point. It has taken a lot of math. It's taken a lot of comparison between raw access logs and internal statistics and PodTrack and Google and all of these things. But It's tough, and I don't have any good advice on that except to look into that. And that goes back to services, Libsyn, Podbean, and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the value you get from them is they handle that for you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about running a podcast, that's something to consider. Because if you're not good in that area or you're not comfortable in that area, the $5 a month for Libsyn is probably worth it just to know that your stats are good.
Right, right.
The exception here is Spotify. Spotify is a weird example, and I didn't know this until we got in there, but I've been looking at our numbers in Spotify, and I'm actually really happy with, you know, the amount of traffic we've got for as short a period as we've been in there. But I discovered in comparing all this stuff that Spotify does something other hosts don't. They cache your episodes.
Oh.
So going way back to like when we talked about, you know, we're hitting 50 gigs a month in transfer, that's because when you listen to our episode through iTunes, Apple doesn't store our media.
Right.
They're telling us to store our media. They're just storing a link.
Right.
And when you listen in iTunes, it is requesting it from us. Spotify doesn't do that.
Spotify caches it, though. Interesting. Yeah, we actually have to look at them. We have to look at their stats and add them to our stats.
And you know what's really sad about that is Spotify's stats are really good. Because they have, like, they're attaching all of their user account data to it. So you can get, age demographics, gender, location, and a ton of other things that you can't get through other apps. Because, again, it's basically just the same as, like, RSS level tracking. But Spotify has,
like, FeedBurner Plus.
Yeah, they have proprietary information that they can attach to it. So it's
interesting.
It all comes back to this idea that my ability to track our show is dependent on my ability to mash all these numbers together, basically.
Yeah.
It's something to think about if you're getting into this, because, and even elsewise, good word. You know, we rely heavily on things like Google Analytics, and we trust it as gathering everything. But, you know, there are some cases where the interactions aren't necessarily equivalent, and you need to know how to take that math and combine them. Okay.
Oh.
God, it's been a year, hasn't it?
Yes.
Several weeks ago, in Slack, Aaron and I have a separate, like, little private production channel where we talk about all this. We mentioned earlier that, I think in the last episode, that, you know, I did a lot to do pre-production, and I planned the show out, and I had all these ideas. I'm sticking true to that, and several weeks ago we sat down and we talked about goals we have for 2019, and I want to share those with you all.
Yeah.
Some of them, anyway. One is to track better. I want to be able to tell you more about our show in a better way, and we're... In the last month, I think we've actually done a lot of that, but I think we have some way to go. And so next year, I want to track that better. I want to ensure that we've got coverage in all the applications that you use to listen.
Right.
Hopefully, if you're listening to us, that's already true. getting into Stitcher and TuneIn, that was a big step because those are large platforms. A lot of people use them. And so I think... That actually, you know, we're not even into 2019 yet, and those first two goals I think we've done a really good job at.
Yeah.
We've got a couple more in terms of making our website better. I think that's
right.
That's something we really want to do. In particular, I want to make our homepage better just in general. Instead of it just kind of being a feed, which is sort of what it is now.
What kind of content should we put on the homepage? We have the Twitter embed already, right?
No.
Well, that would be an easy one.
We have a header. We have the featured show. We have the current shows or recent shows. We have a blog feed and a footer.
Yeah,
it's not much. And you know, we've done some blog posts about things like show follow ups and stuff. But I would like to do more of that. I think we owe you guys more because some shows don't age as well as others.
If this was 10 years ago, I would think that doing a social media mashup on our website would be an obvious thing. And it's not hard to do that, so we might as well.
One big thing that I think we want to chase, not want to, we do want to chase, is, and I, as I'm about to say this, I'm like, man, I don't want to insult anybody that's been on. We love our guests. You're all fantastic. But one thing we want to do is we want to try to bring in like at least two relatively high profile guests on the show.
Yeah.
And I don't know who that is at this point, but
I wouldn't call that a moonshot goal, but it's a stretch goal for sure.
Yeah.
If we don't make it, it's like not like the year was a failure, but like that's definitely something we want to do.
And I think there's a message embedded there, which is, you know, if you've ever gone to a conference or something or looked online, you know, you know a lot of these people, whether that's folks like Jeffrey Zeldman or Eric Myers or Jen Simmons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are names everybody recognizes and knows. But while they are celebrities in our industry, it's not Brad Pitt.
Right.
And sometimes you have to stop and realize that sometimes all you have to do is just ask.
Yeah,
my hope is I think this year we're going to bring in, I don't know who they're going to be. I don't know like how high profile they're going to be, but I would like to bring in a couple folks for our listeners that are definitely names you will recognize, I think. I think that is a fair goal. And again, I want to emphasize it's not to discredit anybody we've had on to this point because they're
absolutely not.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
But that's also a little bit of a distinguishing fact between the main show and build process, too, because build process is really about getting somebody in every month that is just doing fucking cool work that you don't know.
Right. Like the idea of like the high profile quotes guest on the show would not be like, because the build process shows are sort of about like the kind of the.
Yeah.
The you and me kind of thing, the dealing.
Right.
Like, how did you get over imposter syndrome, et cetera?
Yeah. Build process has a very definite theme.
It's grassroots.
It. That was very, that was very intentional when it was written.
Yeah.
Another thing that is in the works as of right now, it probably will not be released by the time this episode goes live, but be on the lookout for it, is we will be launching a merchandise store. It won't be crazy.
This is cool.
Yeah, it won't be super fancy. Yeah. It's not going to be anything nutty. It's not going to be anything that is like, just our logo on a shirt. we do have some ideas for some very neat things, I think.
Yeah, Michael and I have been discussing this and sending ideas back and forth, and there are some really cool. We had a big discussion about, do we write the Drunken UX podcast, or do we just put the URL, or do we just do like a very small brand reference? But the emphasis was definitely on, this is about having a shirt that has something, or a media of some kind that has something interesting on it,
yeah,
rather than being just promotion for like it doesn't say Abercrombie and Fitch, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's actually something interesting.
That is our hope, and I'm already looking for some designers to help take what is in my brain and put it, mm-hmm, you know, on this stuff. And so that's my hope. And that is part of kind of building some revenue stream for the show to help us do bigger and better, mm-hmm, things beyond that, whether that's, you know, giveaways, you know, travel to events, things like that. Mm-hmm. So that is part of the hope of that, is we want to create something that you want and not just be a billboard for us. Like and you know, it goes back to when we were talking to Joel the Git shirt he had. You know, Git commit, get paid, or whatever it was.
Yeah. So great.
It's that kind of thinking. So we've got some stuff there, and I think that'll be cool. So, and obviously once it's out there, you will know, because we will talk about it.
You know what would be really fun, but I don't know if this is a realistic 2019 goal, is to do an episode of Drunken UX live at a conference. I don't know which one would be appropriate, but
we'll find
that
one.
Would be so cool. Yeah, that would be super fun.
Maybe 2020. Let's make that a 2020 goal.
That seems like if we can power through next year and continue to grow as we have this year, I think that is definitely something we should do.
And along with like the homepage and stuff, you know, we want to clean up the website layout. We're going to be reviewing stuff like SEO on the site and our own accessibility for that matter. There's a lot certainly there that we want to look at that you probably won't ever notice as a user. And the funnest part about this is, as far as stats go, our podcast gets twice as much traffic as our website gets, which is very interesting to me because it's a huge departure from what I'm used to as a web developer. But it also makes a lot of sense because it's, you know, it's a very different consuming method.
I'm glad it's that way than the reverse.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely it says a lot about the audio content, but. We do want to look at that, and it is something that we are paying attention to. And then the last big one that we were just talking about, we want to get our transcription gap closed.
Mm-hmm.
We want that loop solved, and we want to be able to say that, you know, we are one of the big web development podcasts out there that is ensuring that you have a transcription to review. And it goes with the last one, too.
The ultimate goal, I think, for that would be to have the transcription go out, like, with the podcast.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to go through some steps to get to that point.
Yeah, there may be some iteration on it. But, you know, the big thing, like going back to making sure our site's accessible, making sure we've got good, mm-hmm, SEO, those things are all served by making sure that we are working towards closing that transcription gap. Because that's
definitely
content. That's stuff that counts towards any of that. So those are our goals. Outside of that, there are a couple other things, and we want to make sure you know this, and then we are going to take off. First off, there will be some changes to our production schedule. For Drunken UX, you can expect the same show. We will be coming to you next year with all the same production, the same plans and ideas and approach. Our big changes are going to be that we want to introduce just a little bit more structure to the show,
mm-hmm,
and research and data and things that are useful. And then we're going to also be bringing in some new formats. And one of them that we're targeting early on is book reviews.
Yeah.
That might.
I'm actually excited about that.
Yeah. It might sound boring, like as we note it, but there are a lot of really amazing resources out there. And one thing that I think I like about it is web trends come and go very quickly, but some of the, mm-hmm, best, like, foundational topics are written down, and if they can withstand the test of a book, they will be useful to you at a professional level across your career.
Yeah.
And so we've targeted some tomes that we will be looking at, and we're going to try to do maybe two of them next year to start with, just to,
mm-hmm,
do it and get used to it, but then hopefully more after that.
Yeah.
The big change is that real-time overview is going to go or undergo a complete makeover. First off, it's going to happen less frequently. Right now, real-time overview comes to you every Wednesday, and we're going to change that and make it be on the alternating Mondays from the Drunken UX podcast.
Right.
This is, in part, to save some of my sanity. to slow...
With the exception of the week that I filled in, RTO is like 100% Michael. So
it's every week I am working on that, and I'm collecting articles, and I'm writing it, and I'm doing all the things. And it's just, it is a huge amount of work.
Yeah.
So we're going to slow that down every other Monday. And instead of it being a roundup of different things, it's going to talk about one topic and feature several articles on one topic.
Yeah.
And so we think that will become more useful. And part of the reason we have made this decision is back to our analytics.
Mm-hmm.
People apparently love listening to real-time overview, but they aren't coming to the site to follow the links. And I don't feel like the show is useful if you don't go look up the articles that we are mentioning, because I don't talk enough about those articles for them to be useful.
Right, so going into more depth about the individual things.
So, yeah, being able to spend 10 minutes talking about one thing, if you don't come to the site to click the links, I think that's enough time to at least give you little nuggets of information. So that's my hope with real-time overview.
Right.
That cuts us down to 5 episodes a month, basically. And build process will be the same. I like build process.
Right.
The listeners have loved build process. The guests have enjoyed it. I see no reason to change it, and I don't plan on it.
Yeah.
And it will still air on the middle Wednesday of the month.
Right.
Okay. Man, it's been a year. I'm tired of talking. Let's go take one quick break, come back, and then ring out the new year. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
See you in just a second. The Drunken UX Podcast is brought to you by our friends at NewCloud. NewCloud is an industry-leading interactive map provider who has been building location-based solutions for organizations for a decade. Are you trying to find a simple solution to provide your users with an interactive map of your school, city, or business? Well, NewCloud's interactive map platform gives you the power to make and edit a custom interactive map in just minutes. They have a team of professional cartographers who specialize in map illustrations of many different styles and are ready to design an artistic rendering to fit your exact needs. One map serves all of your users' devices with responsive maps that are designed to scale and blend in seamlessly with your existing website. To request a demonstration or to view their portfolio, visit them online at nucloud.com/drunkenUX. That's nucloud.com/drunkenUX. Folks, 2018, going out the window. Last show of the year, part two of the season finale, and then we're taking a break because this is early in December, and we don't want to record again for the rest of the month. But thanks for tuning in, thanks for listening. If it's your first time, make sure you hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app, whatever that happens to be. You can catch us on YouTube and all of that too. We try to put our things all of the places, but
whatever like source you find easiest.
Absolutely. But from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening, because it's been a year and we have really I think done a lot in this time.
Whether it's this is your first episode or whether it's your 26th, then thank you for being with us. And also, and I want to add, because when this airs, it will be just about the holidays. I hope you have a wonderful time with your families or whomever you choose to spend the holidays with, even if it's just your pet or
us
or whatever, you know, however you choose to do the holidays or not at all. I hope you have a wonderful time and end of the year.
Good thinking.
And thanks for choosing to listen to us in whatever moment you found. Reach out to us. And you can do that on Twitter or Facebook.com/DrunkenUX or on Instagram. Well, that would be a weird place to reach out to us, but check us out anyway.
Yeah, there's
/DrunkenUX podcast.
There's DMs there. That's fine.
Yeah. Or on on the Slacks at drunkennewx.com/slack to sign up. We have a YouTube channel. I don't know what the URL is for that.
What is it? /user/drunkenUX, I think. I think you can actually go to /drunkenUX and it'll get you there. But yeah, if you prefer queuing up stuff on YouTube, we do post. Real-time overview does not go up there, but build process and DrunkenUX do both go up there.
So. Yeah.
Folks, 2018, great year. Thanks for sticking with us. Yeah. Season 2 will start in January. We have stuff lined up. We've got some guests planned. We've got some books planned. We've got some topics planned. My God, we are thinking so far ahead, it would make your head spin. I'll let you decide if that's true or not. But, folks, I guess the only thing I have left to say is it's the end of 2018, and I hope that you have kept your personas close and your users closer. Happy New Year.